Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And glad to have you with us. We do this show each weekday at 11 a.m. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And as you probably know by now, if you listen on a regular basis, this is my reminder that we are available as a podcast. If you ever miss the show, miss a portion of the show, you can find us on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud. Really easy ways to locate us and listen basically to the program as a podcast on demand. Well, the big news yesterday didn't have a lot to do with sports, but so many announcements surrounding the virus and updates from governments, whether it be federal or state or even local sometimes, they could affect what the progress could be for sports coming up here in future weeks and future months. And yesterday, Eric Holcomb, governor of Indiana, we cover his press conferences. We carry him live. He's doing them Wednesdays at 2:30 in the afternoon on a regular basis now instead of daily. We carried that press conference yesterday. I kind of gave you a hint that I had heard there might be some big announcements or some newsworthy announcements in his press conference yesterday. And that was the case. Of course, Indiana, the state, this back on track Indiana plan, the state was set to open back up basically at 100% with social distancing per the CDC requirements for social distancing on July 4th. That's like the final benchmark for the state before we get back to what I call not normal, but a new normal, at least for the foreseeable future. And the press conference yesterday, Governor Holcomb announced that we aren't going to go ahead to stage 5 on July 4th, and instead we're going to jump kind of in the middle. We're at stage 4 now. Stage 5 is going to be delayed, but we are going to take a step forward to stage 4.5. So some of the things that stay the same. I know so many people are like, what's going on? There's so many stages and so many guidelines from state and federal, and I don't know what to listen to or what exactly this means. Basically, in Indiana, until at least July 17th, social gatherings, whether it be weddings, parties, sporting events, whatever it may be, where people are in close physical contact with each other for extended periods of time, this is particularly indoors, you're limited to 250 people at those events. Dining room and food service, they basically continue on at 75% capacity as long as social distancing is happening. Bar seating in restaurants, and I know some local governments have not opened back up bar seating yet, but the statewide regulation right now is bar operations. Bar seating can go at not 50% is where they are at. Bars and nightclubs may still operate at 50% as well. Cultural, entertainment, tourism sites, they can continue with operations at 50% capacity. Movie theaters, bowling alleys, other similar type facilities can continue at operations at 50%. Amusement parks, water parks, and again, similar facilities may continue at 50%. And raceways may continue operations at 50% in the grandstand as well. Beginning July 4th, a couple new things, because we do take a half a step forward, I guess you could say. Fairs, festival, and other similar outdoor activities may open. Paramutual horse racing, which obviously some people will really care about in the state, that will open back up with 50% spectator capacity. Youth overnight camps may open. Of course, K-12 school operations may begin the 2020-2021 academic year on July 1st, with extracurricular and co-curricular activities resuming on July 6th, which means nothing changes with high schools getting back together after the 4th of July holiday to do some social distance workouts. And there are a number of other things as well included. A couple steps forward, A lot of things are going to hold for Indiana right now. And as you look around the country and you see some really hot spots just blasting forward with the number of cases, and Indiana's been up a bit as far as cases go, probably not a bad decision to just completely take off a lot of regulations. I know a lot of people want to get back to fully open, but social distancing is going to have to continue to happen even when we get to July 17th. And again, who knows with each update, each Wednesday, each week, do we continue to move forward? Does July 17th become the date that we get to Phase 5, or because of rising cases, do we have to hold in place for a while, or maybe do we have to take a step backwards or two, which would not be good. But again, interesting update yesterday. I think a lot of people were concerned what the update to a sports perspective in the state would mean. Would it affect the voluntary workouts at colleges? No, it does not. Would it affect the voluntary workouts at high schools that begin after the holiday? No, it does not. Does it affect the opportunity for planning for fall sports and the fall sports seasons in high school and college sports to move forward? No, it does not. But again, these are some cautious times as we watch the numbers. And I did think this was interesting as well. And the state of Indiana has been very clear in their communication on this, so kudos to them. But basically, if you're looking at the numbers and the dashboard for Indiana for COVID-19 cases, what the governor and his staff are looking at, so if you start to see these numbers rise, you may want to get a little bit cautious about things. They're looking at the number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients statewide, which they said yesterday has decreased for 14 straight days. The state looks at surge capacity for critical care beds and ventilators in hospitals. That's one of the other determining factors on do we move forward, do we hold, do we go backwards. The state also looks at its ability to test all Hoosiers who are COVID-19 symptomatic, as well as healthcare workers, first responders, and frontline employees. Obviously, you got to have the tools to test, and Indiana continues at this point to have those ability to do so. Also, health officials have systems in place to contact all individuals. This is basically called contact tracing, who test positive for COVID-19. Those are the four main things that the governor and his staff say they're looking at, state health department officials and others, as far as how we do move forward and how quickly we get back to this stage five, which is basically a 100% capacity, no caps on the number of people you can have at public events, etc. So interesting to follow. Thankfully, the notifications, the update yesterday did not affect sports, which a lot of people were worried that it might. But again, if numbers rise, this could be an odd year. This could be a year where we get into workouts in July and then they are canceled. This could be a year where football starts and then a team cancels or a league cancels. And I do think it's worth noting that there have been some Division II and Division III schools that have already canceled their fall sports seasons. I don't think it's been done at the Division I level yet. And then there's talk about the Ivy League, which may not play football in the fall and may have a spring conference-only football season. So I think we're going to see all sorts of different decisions made. This isn't going to all sync up. Everybody across the country is not going to all have the same beliefs. The states and cities are not all going to be in the same situation as we get into the fall and sports begin at the college and high school levels. So I think you'll definitely see different rules and regulations. You may see some states not play. Some states play with all sorts of shortened seasons and all kinds of regulations. Then you might see some seasons that are pretty much business as usual with games and fans in the stands. It will be interesting to see. I do continue to hear, before we get into our headlines, I do continue to hear, just talking to friends that are in the college sports industry, basketball coaches at different levels, and just friends over the years that you make, there does seem to be a push that, you know, there could be maybe conference-only basketball because it would make sense that the Big Ten Conference is pretty much on the same page with its funding and how testing is going to go. They've done a lot of things at the conference level to make sure there are regulations, and even for the Big Ten to be involved, obviously, in the discussion about health and wellness around COVID-19. So could it be that college basketball or even football this year, maybe it's conference only because everyone is operating, those 10, 12 schools in these major conferences are operating on the same guidelines, and you know that their kids are getting tested much more often than maybe what student athletes at a smaller school or a mid-major school or a school you're going to play in the non-conference part of the schedule. So why take the risk of bringing a full team of football or basketball players to your campus, or in some situations going there if there's a chance that they aren't as checked up on and maybe as healthy as what your team is. So who knows? All sorts of different scenarios out there, but it is going to be an interesting time in sports as we move forward. Let's get into our show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines coming up in just a few moments. We'll cover those in just seconds. And then later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He's always with me on Thursdays. We talk IU basketball and more. Going to talk a little Romeo Langford today with Alex as well. And then later in the show, we've had a high school football coach on in Steve Cooley of New Albany last week. We had a high school basketball coach on in Ryan Miller to talk about their teams, but also to talk about what workouts will look like next week in high school sports when they begin, how they're going to get their teams ready, the requirements that they're facing that are going to make it difficult for them to coach or difficult for them to put in the offenses, the defenses, the plays, do the things that they need to do at this time of year, especially football teams, to get ready for the upcoming season. So I thought today it might be interesting to have an athletic director on to talk about this thing as a whole and what he thinks the fall sports season could look like and some of the different challenges right now for high schools across the area and the state. And so John Dablo, former football coach at Silver Creek, he's going to join us a little bit later in the final segment of our program today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure to visit your Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and check out all the new dinner package deals now being offered. Also, you can dine in as well as pick up and curbside service. It's still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I think we start with an IU baseball note today. I mean, I love following IU baseball, love the College Baseball World Series. That would be on tap this summer. And, of course, that's another loss that the pandemic has forced, not only the loss of the IU season, but all the fun postseason moments and, of course, the College World Series as well. But I think it's worth noting, five former IU baseball players are on Major League Baseball rosters for the shortened 2020 season as teams are beginning to get ready for the season and as they are putting their initial rosters together. Now, their initial rosters of up to 60 players will be cut a few times in this process, Major League Baseball requiring that. But just going through the list, of course, former IU player and outfielder, he's the biggest name right now in IU baseball as far as alumni, Kyle Schwarber, the fourth overall pick in 2014. He's back with the Cubs. Catcher Josh Fegley, he was a 2009 first-round pick. He is now with the Cubs. He was traded to Chicago by the Oakland A's earlier this year. And then other players, Alex Dickerson, the 2010 Big Ten Player of the Year. He's an outfielder. He has made the initial cut for the San Francisco Giants. Kyle Hart, who's a pitcher, he played for IU until the 2016 season. He made the cut for the Red Sox in Boston. And another pitcher, Aaron Sliegers, he was drafted in 2013. He is on the Tampa Bay's roster, Rays roster. So five IU players, potentially more, could make rosters as they are formed and as changes happen. Of course, those rosters include a 40-person roster and a 20-person, what they're calling taxi squad, to join practices and, of course, fill in if there is a reason to replace people on the 40-man roster once the season gets going. Also in our headlines today, another new name for you to follow and track in IU basketball recruiting. This is another 2022 prospect. And no, it's not like yesterday, not another North Dakota prospect to watch. This one is right here from the state of Indiana. And we've mentioned him before, Kamari Lands. He was a well-talked-about player in our state. Even as he entered his freshman year, the summer before his freshman year, he played with Indianapolis Cathedral. He was someone that was really watched and really thought that he could be a great player down the line in high school basketball in Indiana. Unfortunately for the high school game, he never made it to Cathedral. He transferred or enrolled at La Lemire, the prep school up in LaPorte, Indiana and has been playing with them the last few seasons. He had a great sophomore season last year. He's ranked number 37 overall in the 247 Sports composite ratings. 6'5", great scorer. And again, he's from Indianapolis. He was set to go to Cathedral before making an early jump, which you don't often see as a freshman or sophomore. Normally those moves to some of those elite high school prep-type programs happen later in their high school careers. But Kamari left before his freshman year, right as school was starting back, if I remember correctly. It was a crushing blow, I thought, to our high school game in Indiana. He could have been a great player, a Mr. Basketball candidate in a couple years, but instead he's at La Lemire. But Indiana, very much involved with him. He's got a long list of Big Ten schools, of Midwestern schools, and other high majors as well. And no doubt about it, he's going to be a really good prospect coming out of the Hoosier State again, although he won't play official high school basketball. He's up in La Porte playing at La Lemire. Kamari Lance, another name to watch. I wanted to mention this as well. We've been talking a lot about basketball's return, the TBT, the Million Dollar Prize Tournament over in Columbus, Ohio. The owner and CEO, the founder, John Mugar, he joined us yesterday on the program. Very neat guy, very neat concept, and I know people are excited about the TBT. In fact, I had an email yesterday from their email list or their media list. You can bet on the games. FanDuel has now put TBT games on the mobile app. You can bet all sorts of things if you're into that. So basketball is back, no question about it, July 4th with the TBT. But remember yesterday John told us they had three teams in quarantine waiting to go that were on site, that had been tested, that were being kind of sequestered back to their hotel rooms? Well, they're going to have to call one of those teams out because the Jackson, Tennessee Underdogs have been replaced because they had a player, it says one player, that tested positive for COVID-19. So with that said, there's two teams available now to replace potential other teams that are affected by just one player with the virus, and your team is out. And so testing has went on before the tournament starts, obviously, and will continue through the tournament. But that could be interesting and could be a real model for what the NBA could look like. You're going to create a bubble. They're doing a good job with it, but it's impossible to keep that bubble intact, I believe. And so this team getting replaced, forfeited out of the tournament, be interesting to see how this is handled the rest of the way, and interesting to see how the NBA handles it, because they have no teams in quarantine ready to go, backup teams that can come in and replace someone on the schedule or take their place or anything like that. So it'll be interesting, and I think the TBT, which starts on Saturday, will be a good way to kind of judge what some of the scenarios could be like for the NBA coming up later in the month. Also, one quick note on Rick Pitino. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, could we just see college conference only games because of the coronavirus? And here was Rick Pitino's tweet yesterday. He said, quote, "Suggestion to the NBA, push the start of the season back to January and play only league games. Buy some more time for a vaccine and to get things under control. Although I can't wait to be back on the sidelines, the health of my players and staff is what's really important." And again, for that rumor that's out there that conference-only games could be a way that teams go this year, not just in football but basketball as well, that is an interesting perspective. And again, that tweet from Rick Pitino yesterday. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Stay with us. We've got two full segments ahead. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us in the next segment as we talk IU basketball. Following that, final segment today still ahead, John Dablo, athletic director at Silver Creek High School. We're going to talk about what fall sports could look like, how summer workouts will look at Silver Creek High School, and a lot more for the former football coach of the Dragons turned administrator. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And And we're back on this Thursday program with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. You can visit the website, InsideTheHall.com, and you can follow Alex on Twitter, at Inside the Hall. I want to start with Romeo Langford today, Alex, as we get ready for live basketball and the return of the NBA later in the month. I saw a little promotional video. I believe it was the Celtics that put it out yesterday. And I'm watching Romeo Langford drive down the court, unguarded, laying the basketball in, and he's got a new hairdo, or at least a temporarily new hairdo, it looked like. So looked like he had had a little growth there over the quarantine time up in Boston.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that yet. I'll have to go check that out once we get off this interview. I'll be curious to see assuming that everything goes off as scheduled here with the NBA restart, which – you know, I think a lot of people, I've listened to a couple NBA podcasts the last couple of days, one with Zach Lowe, who covers the NBA for ESPN.com, and there was another one I listened to, Bill Simmons and Kenny Smith were talking earlier this week, and both podcasts were talking about, you know, the spike of coronavirus right now in Florida and how that might affect the NBA restarting. So I think we've all got our fingers crossed, hoping that everything is able to continue. But with Romeo specifically, I'll be interested to see kind of once Boston solidifies their playoff spot, because they're, you know, obviously one of the top teams in the East. I would think, though, one of those last couple games after their seed is determined, I think they'll probably give some of the younger guys a chance at some pretty significant minutes. So it might be the last time we see significant minutes from Romeo this season. He was, part of Boston's rotation at times during the season, but in the playoffs, I'm not sure how he'll fit into their plans being a rookie. And, obviously if there's any guys get sick or injury, there could be a chance for him to pop up. But I'm really looking forward to maybe getting a chance to see him play extended minutes in a couple of those last games before the playoffs start, because I would think that Boston's going to rest some of their key guys if they've already got their spot locked up.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. NBA return is going to be really interesting, and I've talked a lot about the TBT because it's live basketball and it's fun and the players all compete really hard. But yesterday a team was removed before the tournament begins on Saturday because of a positive COVID-19 case. Obviously, the NBA protocols don't require or don't say they're going to remove an entire team if someone tests positive. But that just, to me, was an example that even before it gets started, as players arrive and have been there, it's going to be something that has to be dealt with at some point, if not multiple times, and if not in a big way, by the NBA.
Yeah, the NBA kind of has, a problem on its hands. That it really hasn't addressed what happens if something happens. For example, let's say, I'm just throwing out a team here, but let's say that in the Eastern Conference semifinals of the Bucks, seven players get COVID-19, and Giannis and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe and one of the Lopez twins are among those guys. You know, are they going to just keep playing the games against kind of a shorthanded team in the playoffs? Are they going to say, let's stop everything for 2 weeks and reconvene? They haven't really built themselves any time in there. If you notice, like the schedule is supposed to end, I think, October 12th or the 13th. Supposed to have a draft October 15th and then move into free agency. And then the season's supposed to start in early December. So it's going to be real interesting for me to see just how they handle that, because I think we're all hopeful that that won't happen, but I don't think any of us are naive enough to think that it's not a possibility, especially once the bubble kind of expands. My understanding is kind of once the first round of the playoffs are over, that people can come in, family and different, you know, traveling parties can come in. I know they're going to have some protocols in place, but, you know, in terms of just how we've seen this spread throughout the country, it's been unpredictable. And I think that could be a major catastrophe. I mean, just think about what it would look like in the middle of a playoff series if half of a team is knocked out due to COVID-19, and all of a sudden you've got second string guys going against, you know, another team at full strength. I just think in terms of optics at that point, it becomes a PR nightmare for the NBA because people are going to be saying, was it really worth all of this to have the season continue? I know this is being all driven by money, and guys want to make their paychecks, and owners want to recoup some of the money that they've lost. But it's just, you know, in many ways, I think what TBT is doing, I listened to part of your interview yesterday with the guy that started that, what they're doing in terms of just kicking teams out if they have a positive case is as cutthroat as it sounds. You know, it's not a terrible idea. Obviously, you can't do that with the NBA, but I just think it's going to be real interesting if kind of the scenario that I laid out there plays out, how it's handled, because there's no buffer built in to stop the season. I mean, it's going to be a huge catastrophe if that happens.
Yeah, no question about it. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Let's get into some IU basketball topics. The players have, for the most part, from what we know, returned to campus for these voluntary workouts. And from a COVID-19 mm-hmm. perspective, last week we got good news that with all the athletes that far at that point on a Monday or Tuesday that had been tested a week ago, I think 182, 83 had been tested, there were zero positives, which was a really good thing to hear in the world of college sports, especially here locally. Any word on what you're getting? Is there any players not back? Is the full team there? And any, I don't know what you'll know. There's not a lot out there, but any word on what they're doing or how things are going in these early voluntary workouts, which we don't believe includes a lot of basketball stuff right now?
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot. I wouldn't expect that Indiana's going to be publicized. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, Matt, but I don't think that Indiana's going to be publicizing much of anything. Obviously, you saw the video with Anthony Leon, Jordan Geronimo moving in to those apartments that are right near campus, which look a lot different than the dorm room I lived in college. I mean, those are nice apartments for, you know, an adult that makes a good living. So that was pretty cool to see that those guys are getting the opportunity to live there. But in terms of what's going on, you know, I have heard that most guys are back. I would assume that most of the stuff is being conducted in small groups, and you know, it's mostly strength and conditioning and weight stuff. And I think everyone's just being careful and being cautious. I think really all we can do right now, you know, our primary focus is college basketball. That's what we talk about every week on the show. I know that's kind of the main thing you're interested in too, more than the other college sports. But I think the main thing that everybody's going to be looking at now is what's going to happen with college football. There's been a lot of different stories coming out recently about kind of casting doubt on whether the season starts on time, what the season's going to look like. And in a lot of ways, I think it's going to shape what's going to happen with college basketball, because college football is, you know, the dominant college sport in this country. It's what drives conferences. It's what drives TV money. It's what funds athletic departments. And I think for college basketball to have hope that their season is going to start on time or even happen, they need good news from college football. The season has to happen in some shape or form, or I just don't think it looks good for college basketball next season to have anything approaching normal. And I think people involved are going to do their best to try to have a college football season. But it's just so complex an issue with kind of geography around this country and different areas of the country in different stages in terms of the pandemic, how all of this works and how all of it fits together is going to be fascinating to watch. But, you know, from back to your original question, my understanding is that most of the team is back on campus and participating in voluntary workouts.
Yeah, good stuff. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. There have been a number of new recruiting names recently as well. It seems that Indiana continues to get much more active during this downtime, as far as you can't have people on campus, you can't go out and recruit at events, there's no live periods, and of course things are really restricted with what they can do currently with their team as well. So putting the time in, a lot of it I would imagine is going to recruiting. But a number of new 2022 names, a prospect from North Dakota, of all places, was mentioned yesterday by, I think, Brian Snow had that. And then I saw today that Indiana, as expected, is getting involved with Kamari Lands, who is from Indianapolis, started at Cathedral, at least was set to go to Cathedral, and then transferred there right before his freshman year began to La Lemire, the prep/elite high school up in LaPorte, Indiana. Some big names there, some interesting names, but that's not all in 2022. Indiana's out there with a lot of different names.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing our best to try to keep up with the recruiting stuff and talk to different guys. I mean, I think in the last couple of weeks, we've had at least six or seven different updates. It's kind of started with Trey Kaufman, who's in 2021. But the last 2 days, we've had an update on Braden Smith, who point guard from Westfield, who in a lot of ways is an interesting kid because doesn't have any high major offers at this point, but somebody that obviously grew up following Indiana basketball and has continuously gotten better at Westfield and is growing into a prospect that at least warrants a look from Indiana. We had a big story on him yesterday and today. We have a story on Bruce Thornton, the point guard out of the Atlanta area, five-star type prospect that Indiana has offered a scholarship to. And, you know, in the coming days, we're working on stories on a name that you're familiar with, Will Lovings Watts, from Jeffersonville. Indiana has been in contact with him recently. We've also talked to Mason Miller, the 2021 recruit, who is, you know, rising up Indiana's recruiting board. And there's a couple other names that we're reaching out to and working on stories to. So right now, not a whole lot going on with the actual basketball, but recruiting seems to still be picked up. And Indiana's, you know, 2022 board is obviously pretty big at this point. There's, you know, I would say at least 15 to 20 names if I were to put together a recruiting board right now that they've at least talked to or reached out to. Whereas 2021 has become a little bit more narrowed down and focused. And, you know, with Trey Kaufman, I mentioned Mason Miller, Blake Wesley, those are, you know, kind of some of the names that seem to be more the focus right now of the recruiting efforts. But 2022, there seems like they're casting a pretty wide net, and it's going to be interesting to just kind of see who earns offers based on, just, I guess, conversations and feel for how things are going, watching tape, because there's, as you said, there's no opportunity to go out and watch evaluation periods right now. There's at least no visits through the end of August, and I'm not real optimistic that they're going to open that back up anytime soon. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how things progress with recruiting. Is it going to force guys into making decisions before they take official visits or get on campus, or is it going to kind of you know, slow down the process and make more kids wait to make a decision? I think a lot of 2021 kids are already going ahead and starting to make up their mind. We saw it with Trey Patterson, and we could see it with some other names, you know, just kind of coming to the realization that I'm not going to be able to take the visits like I would have liked to. I've taken some unofficials. I've kind of got the data, built the relationships, and maybe they go ahead and start making decisions sooner rather than later.
Alex Boza, Tenzai, the Hall. Man, we went from so much momentum of August and September evaluation periods, two in each month potentially, mm-hmm. that was recommended to the NCAA that happened, to all of a sudden August is shut down, a continuance of what we've seen during this pandemic. You can't even have visits or obviously not recruit, go out and recruit or watch games of any sort right now. And then there's momentum that's probably going to happen for September as well. And if we get to that point, I think you can, until the high school season, if and when that happens, you can pretty much write off any evaluation opportunities. But that was really a big push there for a few weeks, and then it just kind of went away altogether.
Yeah, I think if you're a high school kid right now that's, you know, already being recruited, that has scholarship offers, I don't really know what the incentive is to go play in an event right now. Obviously, it's good in terms of your game and working on things, but you know, I've seen some. I believe, Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's been some events that have gone on in Indiana the last couple weekends. I just can't imagine there's, you know, if you're a player who's highly recruited and has offers, I don't know what the benefit of doing that is at this point, other than just kind of getting some reps in. I think it would be more beneficial to kind of work in small groups and kind of do some individual work. Rather than expose yourself to you know, potentially getting ill, it's an interesting time. I'm not optimistic that the NCAA is going to open anything up for evaluation periods. I can't imagine that coaches are asking for evaluation periods at this point, especially older ones that could be a little bit more susceptible to getting really sick if they do get the virus. I mean, I can't imagine there would be much, you know, from a guy like Jim Boeheim, there wouldn't be much incentive for him to go to an event in September or October and do in-person evaluations if there's a chance he can get sick from that. So I don't – this is, you know, in many ways uncharted territory. But to me, the way things are trending right now, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be anything in terms of coaches getting out and recruiting anytime soon. I mean, it's already shut down through August. I would think by the end of this month we would hear something on September, but we'll see how it all progresses. I think a lot of it is going to be determined by, you know, whether students are back on campus at most colleges this fall. It seems like in Indiana, at least that's the plan right now, but there's a lot to be determined still.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, thanks for the chat. Good stuff.
All right. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with John Dablo, the athletic director at Silver Creek, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment on this Thursday program. Last week, we got the perspective of a high school football coach and a high school basketball coach here locally with Steve Cooley and Ryan Miller on how they're going to handle these workouts in July and just preparations for the upcoming seasons, both fall and winter sports, which obviously could look very different given the current pandemic that we're in. And I thought this week we'd hear from an athletic director. And so John Dablo, former Silver Creek football coach, currently the athletic director, joins us now. And Coach, before we start the interview, a little bird told me that maybe you're out on the golf course of one of our great partners, the Elk Run in Jeffersonville, with a former Silver Creek basketball coach playing a little golf today. So we're sorry to interrupt your golf. How's the round going so far? Who's winning?
Well, not me. Let's put it that way. Not me. But we're having a good time. And, you know, we're out here with the legend Mitchell Speedy, too.
Oh,
He's another Silver Creek legend that's out here with us. And he's beating us all.
So, imagine that.
Yeah. So, anyway. But I appreciate you having me on. And we are anxiously looking forward to getting things rolling on Monday.
How different has this summer been? You've been around high school football for a long, long time. You've been involved in athletics as well for a long time, and now you're leading the entire athletics department at Silver Creek. This is just a different time. How different has it been, and what are some of the workouts going to look like for different sports at Silver Creek? What are some of the requirements?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We've been doing a statewide AD meeting on Mondays, and I think they told us this is our 15th week in a row.
Wow.
That we've done these AD meetings. And so it's been very interesting to see, you know, what's going on around the state. And we're all just kind of in the same boat. And, you know, I think it's not going to – the first couple weeks, you know, this phase one that goes from July 6th to July 19th is going to look a little bit different as we ease back into things. And, you know, we told our coaches, hey, we don't know what kids have been sitting around playing Fortnite and what kids have been out there working out. So we don't know athlete-wise what we're going to get when they return on Monday.
John Dablo, athletic director at Silver Creek, joining us. I guess for a football coach especially, you've got the season that's being planned to be played coming up here in the middle to latter part of August, as always. You probably feel some pressure. You're going to get your guys back together on Monday this coming week, which is a good feeling, but you're going to be somewhat limited in what you can do, at least for the first number of weeks. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of anxious football coaches who are glad to have their guys back. They're glad to be working on some fundamentals and maybe verbally going through how offensives and schemes and things may go, but it's not really going to be a full contact practice that you might need to really gauge where you're at and what you need to work on, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, we're not giving out any equipment until we get through this first phase. And, Coach Pappenhouse has been great to work with as far as, always being in contact with me. And because, it's like we're hitting a moving target because every week something's changing. And so he's been really good to work with, as all my coaches have. We have great coaches at Silver Creek. We're very lucky. And, we're going to try to get guys back in shape, I think, and we'll really work fundamentals and keeping them in groups. And, one of the big things is doing our check-in, our health screens before we practice. All my coaches are on board with that. And so it's definitely going to be different, and we're just going to have to ease back into it.
Coaches are going to have to play a little additional roles. There's going to be some temperature takers and some people recording information and keeping attendance, and just small things like that are going to be more important now than ever to figure all this stuff out. But I have a feeling that a lot of your coaches at Silver Creek and across the area and the state are willing to take on a couple extra administrative tasks to get their players back.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think they've been chomping at the bit to get back, and if this is what it takes, this is what it takes. And I reminded them as well, I've been out to some Little League games and whatnot, and I think unfortunately, we're not Little League. We have to be under a little more scrutiny with the IHSA and the DOE, and so we're not going to be able to do maybe some of the things that they have seen at some of these other games, but we hope to get there, and that's the main goal, and hopefully following these rules and doing what we're supposed to be doing and what we're told will get us to a point where we can, ultimately our ultimate goal is to have the season, and that's what we're all working for.
You mentioned you've been in touch every Monday with athletic directors across the state. Obviously you get directives and are in contact with the Indiana High School Athletic Association as well, and I know a lot of the local ADs here have some good friendships and try to support each other and help each other. So lots of communication, lots of knowledge for athletic director right now in this unknown time. But I've got to believe, as much as you prepare yourself or your teams or your school for what things could look like, what things should look like during a health scare like what we're in, it's, you called it a moving target in one of your earlier answers. I don't think fans, media, players, parents, anyone should be surprised if the fall sports seasons begin, but there are some changes that happen even after the seasons are underway. We're so used to high school sports being so organized and schedules being out really early, and things are done with the state tournaments the same way every year. It's a great job by everybody involved, but this may be a year where there could be some real changes even after it gets started. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the just going from what the governor released, I think we're in phase 4.5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's changing. And as that changes, it's going to affect what we do and on down the line. You're absolutely right. We're going to go kind of 2 weeks at a time is our goal. And if we get those 2 weeks done, then we'll hope for two more weeks. And, if we get those done, then we will keep moving on. And August 3rd is the most fall sports official day to start, and right now that's what we're looking for.
John Dablo, he's the athletic director at Silver Creek High School in Sellersburg. Couple quick football questions for you, since you're a former football coach and a big football guy. How hard is it to not coach on a daily basis and have those interactions with kids as the AD? And maybe just a quick opinion on what you think Silver Creek football could be like this year with Coach Pappenhouse.
Sure. Well, I'm not gonna lie. I miss coaching football, and I miss being around the kids. And man, we had some great kids to work with. But Coach Pappenhouse, again, he's been a great hire, and he lets me sit down and he listens to me, and we get to talk some football. And so he's been great and very accommodating in that regard. And he's doing a great job. As last year, you saw, 8-1 regular season, and we really feel like we got a good core group coming back that we're going to be competing again, hopefully for another conference title. It would be our first actual conference title in football, but we really think we got the group to get there. So hopefully it'll happen.
Great stuff. Coach Dablo, Silver Creek, the athletic director. I'm sure we'll be talking between now and we hope the start of high school football season on time. Thanks for letting us interrupt your golf game. Tell Coach Chanley and Mitchell Speedy and the guys that we say hello, and we hope that you pick it up on the back nine, Coach Dablo.
I appreciate that. And you know, we appreciate everything you guys do for Southern Indiana sports, and you know, we're hoping to see you some ball games this fall.
Absolutely. Always fun to head out to Sellersburg. And, Coach, we appreciate the chat today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. John Dablo, athletic director at Silver Creek High School. He was one of the fun coaches in the area to follow and interview, of course, after a lot of Silver Creek successful games. In fact, had a really good year, 2017. He led the Dragons to a 9-3 record. That's when they made it all the way to the sectional championship game and lost to a very good East Central team. But Coach Dablo, great to catch up with him. Now the AD at Silver Creek High School. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. This week is just flying along. We'll return for our final episode on Friday. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join. We'll talk some basketball recruiting with him. Also, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU stuff with him as well. So a busy show to wrap up the week, and we hope that you can join us then as well. I also wanted to put a plug in for another podcast I do, and I've mentioned it a few times. It's the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast with Dennison and May. And May is Chris May from the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. We have episode 18 out as of earlier this morning, and it's a long-form sit-down interview with Todd Sturgeon, the coach at Floyd Central, the basketball coach. And what a lot of people I don't think know about Coach Sturgeon, I think people understand that he's really helped turn Floyd Central around. I think people recognize him as a very strong basketball coach in the area. I'm not sure that everybody realizes his basketball background. So we really spent time talking about where did he play in high school and in college, and how did he get started in coaching. And, of course, he also was a head Division II coach at the University of Indianapolis for a number of years as well. And he had some great mentors in his coaching career, like Royce Waltman, the former IU assistant, and of course Indiana State head coach as well. So it's really good talk with Coach Sturgeon, who's done just a fabulous job at Floyd Central. He also talks a little bit about Floyd Central for the upcoming season as well, and some of the great players he has now and that he has had in his time at Floyd Central. So if you're a fan of the Highlanders, or you just like following local basketball here in Southern Indiana, make sure you check it out. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. Just search for Indiana High School Hoops Podcast. You'll find it there. You can also find it if you follow me on social media as well, at Hoosier Hills. That wraps it up for today. Have a great Thursday. We'll be back Friday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.